Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a God who we read in your word so loved the world that you gave your own son. And Lord, when you sent out your disciples, you also said that we were to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, we thank you for people that you put in their heart to do ministry here at home, whether it's among the homeless, within our own community, or, Lord, among the homeless and refugees in the midst of great suffering around the world. Thank you for your servant Wayne, for the heart that he has for you and for hurt and lost people. Lord, we pray much freedom for him and that you would equip and empower him by your Spirit as he opens your word and as he shares with us this morning. Lord, that our hearts might be open to receive what you would have for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it's a real pleasure to be with you here this morning. I just want to make sure everybody can hear all right. Can you raise your hands if you cannot hear? That's supposed to be a joke. Only John Van Dyke raised his hand. It's a pleasure also because I used to live in this neighborhood. That was in November of 1967 that we moved on to Ranch Park Way. Do you know where Ranch Park Way is? It was just coming through at that time. And when I do the math, I realize that's almost 50 years, and I suddenly start to feel pretty old, almost as old as John. Well, it's a privilege to have an opportunity to come and speak with you today, partly to get better acquainted, but also to share with you about the ministry of MCC and how you're helping make a difference in the world. And I'm just wondering how many people have connected with MCC in any way. Can you raise your hand if you have ever served with MCC in any way? Okay. How many have ever volunteered in a thrift shop or the relief sale? Can you raise your hand? How many have ever gone to a relief sale or a thrift shop? Can you raise your hand? Okay, we have a strong connection here. Thank you for your part in the ministry of MCC. Well, MCC, as Dave was saying, is the relief, development, and peace arm of Mennonite churches. And I'm going to test this first slide. There we go. Now, most people know about MCC because of things that hits the news. Most of our work happens behind the headlines in forgotten places around the world. But what you're seeing on the image behind me is the city of Aleppo in Syria, a completely devastated community that has been caught in the middle of a conflict. And as you look down that street, you see all these little darkened windows. All of those places represent where people used to do business or work. And so not only is this destroying buildings, but it's also destroying lives. Over 200,000 people have been killed. About 11 million people out of a population of 17 million have had to flee their homes. Can you imagine that? About two-thirds of the population are really refugees, either refugees in their own country or about 4 million have spilled into neighboring countries, some of whom are making their way here. Well, working in cases of disaster and famine is not new to MCC. I wonder if you would recognize what this picture is all about. Anybody hazard a guess? Go ahead, John. That's right. That was a famine in the Ukraine in 1920, and this is a soup kitchen receiving food aid from MCC. What happened was a lot of the Mennonites who were still back in Russia and the Ukraine were writing letters to their families that have left them and gone to settle in Canada and the United States, and they painted the picture that was really dire. They were facing starvation. And so churches began to send, or tried to send, food aid and emergency relief, but they realized that they were ill-equipped to do it, so they said, let's form one committee in order to organize all of our efforts. We'll call it a central committee, Mennonite Central Committee. Hence this really funny name that we have today. It kind of sounds communist. Some people say Central Committee. That sounds like the Politburo, but it's really not. It's just a committee, just like any church committee. It just happens to be that it never ended. Like many committees, you know, it's easy to start them. It's hard to stop them. But this is a good committee that continues to work with relief, development, and peacemaking around the world. Well, in addition to responding to the famine in Russia, MCC also sponsored refugees. And if you look at the person on the far left, that 15-year-old boy is my grandfather. When he first arrived on the prairies, having just fled famine and conflict in Russia, he'd lost his parents, his brother, he left one brother behind, and it was just a group of siblings standing there on the prairie, now starting a new life, being parceled out to different homes. Well, since its origin, MCC has sponsored over 70,000 refugees to start a new life in Canada. Some of the Mennonites who came in the early days, but most of them now refugees who have come since the Vietnamese boat crisis. MCC is the Relief, Development, and Peace arm of the church. When you think of relief, think of a handout, giving someone a hand when they really can't help themselves in dire straits. When you think of development, think of a hand up, helping someone help themselves. And that's most of the work that we do. And also the work of peace in places of conflict, providing trauma healing and conflict resolution skills in order to prevent harm and violence. That is the work of MCC, Relief, Development, and Peace. And we do all of this in the name of Christ. When Christ was on earth, he gave his disciples the Beatitudes, which were really a stretching vision of what it really meant to be a follower of Christ and the people of God. And then he spoke to his disciples and he called them to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do a people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." He was calling them to be the church, to be the city on a hill, to reveal the love of God to a broken world and to participate in the ministry of reconciliation. Paul goes on to teach about the ministry of reconciliation in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old one is gone. The new is here." That's actually a pretty profound statement. All of this from God, who reconciled him to us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Christ was speaking about the new creation, the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God in our lives as well as in the world. Now in Luke chapter 17, he speaks about the kingdom of heaven actually being within us. Now, most people thought of the kingdom of heaven being a particular place, but he is also saying the kingdom of heaven is within us. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come," the beginning of the kingdom of heaven. The disciples and the followers of Christ today, in spite of all our imperfections, are given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the work of MCC, the mission of MCC, is to demonstrate God's love by meeting basic human needs and working for peace and justice. And our vision is that all people are in right relationship with God and right relationship with each other. That is the vision and purpose of MCC, and it's based on this fundamental understanding. Rooted in our Christian faith, our Anabaptist Christian faith, we believe that God wills the well-being of all people and the healing of creation. And here's the catch, and that the first fruits of the new creation, the kingdom of God, are manifest in the people called the church. The first fruits of the new creation, the kingdom of God, are manifest in the people called the church. And for that reason, MCC works in partnership with churches here at home and around the world, because we want to be part of the reconciliation of Christ. We want to be part of the city on a hill that draws people to the faith in Christ. You know, the MB Confession of Faith says something similar. And in the expanded version, it says, "Although God reveals himself in other ways, the church is the primary place of God's presence in the world today and the primary means that God will achieve his mission." You stop to think about that. The church is the primary place where the presence of God is felt, and it's the primary vehicle to accomplish his purpose on earth. When you stop to think about it, that's a pretty daunting challenge. I have to admit that it kind of intimidates me, because I don't think I always measure up. I'm well aware of my own imperfections. And when you think about the church, it's not those people out there. Well, that's you and me. And somehow you and me are supposed to be the first fruits of the kingdom of God and to be the primary instrument of God revealing his love in this world. You know, I thought to myself that God could have chosen 1,000 angels and they would have done it perfectly. But instead, he chose us in our humanity and we do it imperfectly. But there's actually good news. And here's the good news. that God is the maker and the receiver and the giver of imperfect gifts. So we're not alone. Now, when I said this verse to my mother, she kind of turned her head at me and said, "The maker of imperfect gifts? I'm not so sure about that." And sure enough, in James chapter 1, he says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from our Father in heaven." However, at the same time, we know that we are not perfect. So at some time, there was perfection, but since the fall, there isn't. We are in this in-between time, in between the perfection of the Garden of Eden and the New Jerusalem, in between the resurrection of Christ and the second coming of Christ, when the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God will be firmly and fully established. Yet we are only receiving the Spirit of God and the gifts in our earthly vessel, and we are prone to make mistakes. We are full of imperfections. But in spite of that, God chooses to use us to accomplish his purpose. And to do that, he has empowered us with different gifts, which we use to serve each other as the body of Christ, as well as to serve the world beyond. It's kind of like this blanket, if you think about it. These are remnants. These are castaway pieces of fabric that have been stitched together in order to make actually what some people would say is a beautiful blanket in its own imperfection. In a way, this reflects the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we are called to be the givers and the receivers of imperfect gifts. Now, I wonder if you have ever received an imperfect gift or maybe given one. Now, if you're a guy and you think about yourself in this picture, it all starts rather innocently, doesn't it? You know, your heart on your sleeve giving a gift that you hope will be well received. You see, the young woman looks rather skeptical, doesn't she? It starts off rather innocently, but somehow along the way, it gets kind of practical, doesn't it? Well, maybe, now this isn't my wife, and this isn't our Christmas, just so you know. Maybe we haven't given our wife a power drill, but we might have given her a blender, which maybe wasn't the most romantic and appreciated gift. A lot of guys, we maybe tend not to be as good of gift givers as we should be, except for my brother John, who I see on his Facebook post, he takes his wife to romantic dinners. And I'm just glad my wife is not on Facebook, because I think the standard would be up here. But anyway, on our fridges, I think, are a lot of imperfect gifts sometimes from our children. I wonder if you have received something homemade by one of your children. Well, this is a present that I received from my daughter. And as parents, you get good at faking, "Wow, this is wonderful," as you try to discern what it exactly is. And if you haven't guessed, it's actually a pen holder. It might work better for something fatter, like a cigar or something like that. But anyway, even though this was given to me 15 to 20 years ago, and my daughter says, "Why don't you just throw it out?" I can't bring myself to do it. Now, why would that be? It's because I knew of her very strong feelings of love when she gave it, wanting to please her father. The gift of the artist had not been fully developed, but the heart was there. And so I can't bring myself to throw it away. Now, this is another gift that I received. I think it was for Father's Day. It's from my son. And you can kind of make out what that is. It's a gift certificate book, right? It has 10 chores that John will do for me. And you can see there's only one with a hole punch in it. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah? I think we can all identify with that. And I can't really bring myself to throw it out, because I remember how much he really meant it when he gave it to me, and it was full of love. The other thing is that this was about 15 years ago, and he's a lot bigger and stronger now. He's 6'5" and 210 pounds, and he has skills. This has appreciated in value, and one of these days, I'm going to cash it in. I just have to decide when. Well, King David was also an imperfect gift. He was a great leader, a great ruler, but he had a fatal imperfection. He was wildly successful as a king. As a little boy, he slay Goliath when everyone else was afraid. And as the ruler, he recaptured Jerusalem and brought back the ark. Under his reign, Jerusalem was prosperous and secure. And God even promised him a dynasty, the house of David, that would endure forever. But somehow that wasn't quite enough. He had to take what didn't belong to him. He had an affair with Bathsheba, and to cover up his transgression, he had her husband sent to the front line where he was killed. Well, if that would have happened to a leader in the church today, I think he would have been punted out. Yet, God said that David was a man after his own heart, even after that. There were consequences, public humiliation, the death of his son, but David continued to be used by God. So why would he be considered a man after God's own heart after committing such a grave sin that had such grave consequences? When he was confronted by Nathan with his wrongdoing, he confessed his sin. He said, "I have sinned against the Lord." He wept and he repented. David was not a man after God's own heart because he was perfect or even because he was a great leader, but because he loved God and his spirit was willing. Kind of similar to that gift certificate I received from my son. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. God looks to the intent of our imperfect gifts and invites us to keep on giving. So God is both the giver of imperfect gifts in that he gave his people David as a king, and he is the receiver of imperfect gifts because he continued to use David to accomplish his purposes. And David was treasured by God in spite of his imperfections. Peter, the disciple, was also an imperfect gift. As a disciple of Christ, he would have spent time with Christ. He would have listened to his teaching. He would have watched him perform miracles. And he was even told by Christ a little bit about what was to come. And when the disciples were gathered together, and Christ said that some of you will fall away, Peter was emphatic. Even if everybody else falls away, I won't. And then Jesus says to Peter, actually, you are going to deny me three times. And then Peter responds, I won't deny you even if it comes down to my very life. Not long after that, Christ was standing before the Sanhedrin, 72 priests, elders, and teachers. Peter was below in the courtyard warming himself, and a servant girl recognized him, and she kind of walks up to him and said, aren't you with that Nazarene, Jesus? And Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then she asked him again, and he denied it again. And then other people started to notice it, and they said, surely you're with this Jesus of Nazareth. And then Peter swore, I don't know this man you were talking about. And at that point, the rooster crowed, and Peter broke down and wept, remembering what Jesus had said and knowing that he had betrayed Christ. Even though he meant it 100% at the time, in the end, he betrayed Christ. After the resurrection, when Christ appeared to his disciples, he reinstituted Peter in his ministry. As they walked down the beach together, Christ asked him three times, do you love me? And each time, Peter responded, yes. And what did Christ say? If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, continue in the ministry of reconciliation. Peter went on to play an important role in the founding of the church. In spite of his imperfections, Christ invited Peter to build the church. It wasn't because he was perfect or because he was great, but because he was willing to serve. And Christ treasured this imperfect gift. Well, the early disciples, we learn, were not perfect. There was Peter who denied Christ. There was Thomas who doubted. And Paul speaks quite frequently about his own imperfections. But despite that, the early church performed a magnificent feat. It was not perfect either, but as a result of its work, the message of Christ spread, and today over 1 billion people are followers of Christ. Christ used the early church in all of its imperfections in order to accomplish his purposes on earth, and he calls us to do the same. Even though we might want to draw back because we feel our gift is not good enough, we are called into the ministry of reconciliation. We are called to be the first fruits of the kingdom of God. And we can take some encouragement that others before us have also failed with their imperfections and still have been used by God to accomplish his purposes on earth. Well, at MCC, we receive and we give a lot of imperfect gifts. I don't know if you've ever gone to the relief sale and seen some of the things donated for auction, or if you've ever gone to a thrift shop and seen some of the things donated for sale. Some of them are prized possessions with a great value. Some of them need restoration in order to be sold, and some of them are beyond repair. Those are the range of gifts that we receive, and we receive them with gratitude. We also receive the gifts, the imperfect gifts, of the volunteers who work to rebuild these things so that they can be sold to generate funds for the work of MCC. We're blessed to have over 900 people volunteer in our thrift shops as imperfect gifts, selling imperfect gifts for the work of MCC. They are participating in the ministry of reconciliation. And inside the stores, we are also the giver of imperfect gifts. Sometimes when people have hardships, like a woman fleeing an abusive situation and needing to start over, we provide free furniture in order to help them get started, or a refugee family arriving. Those are our imperfect gifts in order to help build the kingdom. Thrift shops are also a community where people can come to belong. Many times people are coming out of incarceration or are mentally challenged, or sometimes widowed or a widower who are looking for a community to belong to. And sometimes our customers are really frequent visitors, even when they don't have anything to buy. People who are on the margins of society, who are looking for a place to belong. One time, there was this rather ragged-looking person who sat at a piano in the middle of the thrift shop. And the piano had been there for some time and hadn't sold. And he began to play it. He filled the whole thrift shop with this beautiful music. No one would have expected it by looking at his outer appearance, and it was evident that he certainly couldn't afford to buy this piano. But one of the customers who was enjoying the music decided to make an imperfect gift, and they spent several hundred dollars to buy this piano for the man who couldn't afford it. As that donor gave the money, they made an imperfect gift. This piano, old and worn, it sounding beautiful as it was united with someone who had the gift to play. And in doing so, raise money for the ministry of MCC. Well, there are many people who serve with MCC around the world. Any point in time, there are 1,000 workers. Some of them come from North America, serving in different parts of the world, and some of them are from the countries where we serve. You're looking at a picture of Glenn Lapp. He was from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He was a nurse, and he had volunteered with MCC in the wake of Katrina. And he decided that if he ever had the opportunity, he would like to serve overseas. So when the opportunity came to serve in Afghanistan with MCC on remote medical teams going to remote areas of Afghanistan, he jumped at the opportunity. In the summer of 2010, just over 5 years ago, I received a phone call from our disaster response team indicating that there had been a shooting in Afghanistan. Glenn was part of a team of 11 people who had been going to the northern part. As they were traveling north, they were coming close to the Pakistan border, and they went down into a riverbed and up the other side. And so Taliban insurgents were watching from the mountainside. And as they came back through that riverbed, they opened fire and killed 10 of the 11 people in that medical convoy. They were going to the remote parts of Afghanistan to provide eye care for people in need. And it was a threat to the Taliban, because why were these Christians coming in here to Afghanistan? Were they trying to convert people away from the Islamic faith? So they were threatened, and they took the lives of Glenn Lapp and 9 other people. Well, Glenn was very much loved in Afghanistan. He was one of those guys who was the life of the party. He was always inviting people over to his home. He would organize soccer games with the kids. And he also was a professional who did his job and met the basic needs of people who needed eye care. So when his life was taken, the people in the community were deeply moved. And you have to wonder, these Muslim people who came and saw a Christian gave his life in order to serve, what they actually started to think about the Christ that he followed. A quote from Glenn: "The main thing we can do is treat people with respect and love them, and try to be a little bit of Christ in this part of the world." MCC is privileged to receive service of people like Glenn, and deeply humbled that Glenn in the end gave his life for the ministry of MCC. This is Jacob and Kelly. I met them in May in Afghanistan when I was there. They continue to serve with MCC in Afghanistan, and as you can see, they are there with their 3-month-old baby just a year ago. Well, back in Abbotsford, at the Material Resource Warehouse, we have about 800 youth a year who come through and organize kits. This youth group, I think from Ebenezer Mennonite Church, are organizing a container full of soup mix. And there'll also be school kits and relief kits that are going in this container. And halfway around the world in Afghanistan, I had the pleasure of watching these school kits arrive. And you can see these two girls carrying this box of school kits. And in Afghanistan, only 10% of the women are literate. Less than half of the girls are in school. So MCC tries to help make sure girls and boys stay in school in order to get an education. And so these girls are carrying that box into school. There were 4,000 children in this school. They came in four shifts, and there were children in class in the hallways, under the apron, under tarps. It was overrun with children because many have been deprived from school for some time. And so you can see the joy on these kids' face as they get their own school kit, and it's nothing fancy. It's a notepad and some rulers and pencils and those kinds of things. But they're so very proud to have their own school supplies, because often school supplies is the difference between being able to go to school or not. As we were giving out the school supplies, there were a class of girls, and you can see they're fairly well draped, wearing burqas in order to protect their identity. As girls get to be older, they get more and more covered in order to prevent being attacked. And so it was interesting to see, even though they were behind all of this clothing to hide them, this girl stood up at the end of the distribution of school kits, and she wanted to make a little speech on behalf of her class. And I was impressed at how bold she was, and she made various suggestions for how to improve the school. And then she said to us, please thank the donors who gave these kits to us. And so I want to pass her thanks on to you. She knows that this is a Christian organization. She knows she's in a Muslim country. And her idea of who God is what she sees in the news when the leader of a Christian country sends planes to bomb them. She thinks that Christians hate them. We're there to show her that God loves her. Across North America, there are women and men who make blankets. Some make blankets like this that are sent around the world. Some make quilts that are sold at auction. And so these women give a great deal of their time and their skill in order to make very beautiful blankets. And you know, it's interesting to see the mix of virtue and humanity as this happens, because people can be a little bit competitive. And so in a town that has a lot of Mennonites, and I won't say which town, there was a church that had two blanket-making groups, and I won't say which church. And we had a new material resource coordinator, and he was going to pick up the blankets from this church, and he was told, you go to this group of women at that door and that group of women at that door over there. And he said, well, why don't they just bring it to one door? It would be a lot more efficient for me. And I said, oh, yes, but you just have to do it this way. Trust me, this is the way to go. So as he went there, the first group were giving him the blankets, looking around the corner. And then he went to the second group, and as he was getting their blankets, they were looking on the corner, and they said, how many did the other group do? They take a great deal of pride in how much they're able to give. And so with this mixture of humanity, the imperfect side of us, and the virtue, the spirits-filled side of us, they are making a great difference around the world. Halfway around the world in Sudan, with a country that has faced 20 years of civil war, 4 million refugees, 2 million people have killed. I was there a few years ago and saw young women coming home to a place they had never been before. They had lived their whole lives in a refugee camp. And now we're coming back to a farm to find out someone else was there. And now they're in a refugee camp wondering what to do. So MCC is working to provide for the basic human needs. And one of the things we do is we give these blankets, the blankets that look like this. And while we were there, our relief director was noticing at the UN line, or UN distribution point, there was a line for blankets. But at the distribution point for the MCC blankets, the line was way longer. And he wondered why. And so he went to one of the women and he said, so why is it that you are standing in line all this time for this blanket that's really just a patchwork quilt when you could have a brand new blanket from the UN distribution point? And so you know what she said? Well, you know, I've lived in a refugee camp for most of my life. I've gone from one to the other. I've lost my husband. I've lost three of my children. I've gone through horrific violence. And I just have a pot and a spoon and the clothes on my back. And tonight, I want my daughter to sleep in a blanket color. And then she said, this is hard, we can also see that these are made by hand and that somewhere, someone in the world is thinking about us. So these women full of competition at this church, seeing who could make the most blankets, but also full of love, making a huge difference to the work of MCC and participating in the ministry of reconciliation. Well, you've seen this picture at the beginning of the presentation, and we're coming now to the close or to the last part. This is the streets of Aleppo, where MCC has been working for over 5 years. We're in several different communities in Syria, providing basic necessities. In one of the orphanages that MCC supports and several of the schools, they have been bombed. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in Syria where your town is being bombed and it looks like Aleppo? You can see by the expression on this boy's face the horror, and you can see his father around the corner holding his son running out of the building. Can you imagine if you heard bombs going off on the other side of Coquitlam and you knew you had to get to school as fast as you could to get your kids? That's why there are 11 of 17 million people in Syria who have been displaced from their home. This is now the largest disaster response in MCC history. Over $35 million of aid has been distributed in Syria by MCC in partnership with the church. You can see on this map the different locations where MCC is working in different parts of the country. And then you can see a circle near Damascus. In that circle near Damascus, MCC has been providing food aid for 30,000 people for some time, and we're doing it in partnership with the church. So strengthening the witness of the church in a predominantly Muslim country, in a predominantly Muslim neighborhood, and when they give to everybody in need, regardless if they're Christian or Muslim. And as a result of doing this work, they have helped people stay in their community and not flee to another town or another country. But the other thing they've done is strengthen the witness of the church. And we have received profound thanks from leaders in the church in Syria who are able to stay and help and be the presence of Christ in one of the worst places on the world to live, in Aleppo and Damascus and other communities nearby. As a result of the work that they have done, the Grand Mufti of the Muslims in that community was deeply touched, and he wanted to meet the head of the Christian church. And when the head of the Christian church came, they slaughtered a lamb, and he invited the priest to step over it as a sign of reconciliation. He said, "You have captured our hearts. Here you are feeding Muslims, and you are Christians. You are our enemy." Well, who said that we were their enemy? Well, that's what they perceive when they watch the news. But as they live together, they used to live in a more peaceable way, but now they are seeing the face of Christ in a different way. When these moderate Muslims heard that extremists were going to desecrate the church, these Muslims moved into the church, occupied it, and sent word to the extremists, "If you want to desecrate this church, you will have to kill us first." That is a powerful expression of love, that they realize these Christians love them. And then when other Muslims had to flee from their town, churches were opened up so that they could stay in shelter there. So isn't that interesting? Christians feeding Muslims, Muslims protecting Christians. And through all of this, the church is bearing witness to the love of God. The church is working at the ministry of reconciliation and inviting people to understand the person of Christ as the Son of God. We are honored and deeply humbled to work in partnership with the church in Syria and many other places around the world. Well, these are children in a refugee camp in Syria. And even though they've gone through dire situations, you can see the joy in their face at having just received a little bit of help. And so one of the things that we're doing is helping them survive in refugee camps until they can go home. And for those that can't go home, we're inviting them to come to Canada. And so MCC has ramped up its refugee program. We normally in BC sponsor about 7 refugee cases. We have over 100 churches who have said yes to sponsoring a refugee family, and we are run off our feet, and we are delighted to be working in partnership with the church here as we minister to the people who have no place else to go. And as an expression of thanks from one of these refugee camps, you can see this sign: "Thanks for the generosity of MCC." And that thanks doesn't belong to us, it belongs to you. Thank you for your part in the ministry of MCC. Together, we want to be the salt of the earth. Together, we are called to be the light of the world. Together, we are to be the first fruits of the kingdom of heaven. We are supposed to be the evidence that there is a God of love who intends for the well-being of all people and calls all people to Christ for reconciliation. In a way, we are all a little patch on a quilt like this. Together, this is the body of Christ, imperfect, giving and receiving imperfect gifts as a way to build the kingdom and to participate in the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for your support of MCC.